into my program. I am very advanced in my understanding of things. Understanding comes to me effortlessly. I see through things and I know how to stop the bad from getting inside me. I've done that many, many years with great success, but I cannot claim that I did it. And as I begin this program with you, what I'm sharing with you is not intellectual. And I beg of you not to try to study and remember everything I say. Please listen in one ear, let it pass the screen of the bandstand or the grandstand scheme of your mind, and let it come out the other ear. Do not try at all to put me on a pedestal, if such may be. If I'm good enough, you might tend to think I'm wonderful and put me on a pedestal. Don't do that. Don't do that to anybody. You become a God maker greater than the God in your own imagination. We will go into that later on. And in that state, you make terrible, terrible mistakes of love. And then hate. And guilt comes from hate. And then you want love again to put back what's lost by hate or resentment. And so I'm going to share with you how to look at your own brain and become master of your brain. But first of all, you need a master of your spirit. You're not just an animal that responds to pressure, run or fight. That's it. That's all they got. Run or fight. Or disguise themselves and pretend to be something. They're a leaf, so you don't get noticed. And there are variations of that same theme whereby you are tested and found wanting. Such as I've just spoken to you about will kill you all, slowly but surely, thousands and thousands at the time, all dying from the same thing. No, millions when it says the same thing, because there's only one cause. One cause of 95% of everything that's wrong with you and your life. And to boot, to say it further, and how you it spread that miserable life that you've got into other people, especially your family and your children. Become perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. Is I need to perfect it to share it with you. It's very simple to be still and know. It's a very simple, beautiful thing that causes you to do nothing. Of yourself, you can do nothing. Even Jesus said of the same thing of himself, of myself I can do nothing, the Father within me, he doth it. Why call me good? There's none good but God. You've got to pin that in your head just a little bit. Just that one thing, rather than, I just want you to consult it. Just think about it, just for a few minutes. Become perfect. As your Father in heaven is perfect. Why call me good? Jesus says, I'm not good. Only the Father in heaven is good. See? And so he says it. And I say the same thing. I'm a flesh and blood person, but the agent of change for the better for everybody around you, including yourself. You must become perfect, and we must discuss the subject very clearly. I would like you to call me, because most of you are tangled up in your head, whether you know it or not, If you know it, I can help you better than if you don't know it. Of yourself, you can do nothing. You cannot fix what's broken in your head. You don't understand how your head works, but the dark side of the force that lurks all around you as a political thing does understand you, whereby you do not understand what it is doing to you. It's a hypnotic thing. It's called sin. Okay, we'll be right back. I shall explain, and you may call. I'm looking for a bright person.
You're listening to Advice.
The foundation of human understanding teaches an observation exercise, often called meditation, which permits you to become objective toward your problems and allows your heartaches, bad habits, fears, and anxieties to be completely eliminated from your life without effort on your part. Until you have begun to practice this exercise, much of what you see and hear on the following program may be shocking and upsetting to you. But if you will listen calmly and with an open mind, you may discover the key to the peace of mind and joy for which you've been searching all of your life. And now, from the foundation of human understanding, here is Roy Masters.
I'm going to discuss with you, ladies and gentlemen, this evening, your attention. I'm seeking your attention and appreciate it. But remember what I said in the opening salvo of this program, that I don't want you to try to remember what I'm saying. I just want you to go listen to it in the one ear and comes out the other and see what sticks. That's all. It's not much to ask you. It's not learning. I'm trying to bring you to understanding, which is superior, millions of times superior. I know countless billions of years superior. There's nothing better than what you've lost is intuition. Intuition. Not out tuition. Outside that. Outside coming inside. It has to do with the way you react. No man can worship two masters. He will belong to one or the other. So if you are reacting to pressure, that is evidence of what you understand or think you understand as sin. I call it hypnoidal state, hypnotic. Sin, temptation, all of these words mean exactly the same. The hypnosis cannot cure anybody. It is the problem. It's the name of the problem in a scientific sense. But the scientists or psychiatrists do not understand it. Not at all. I hardly know anyone that understands the way sin, temptation, or hypnotic trauma. Hypnosis, hypnotic trauma is what we're talking about. That is tantamount to sin. Now, let me just speak clear and slow. Every time you overreact to something, is sin. That's as simple as that. That's what it is. Being upset, annoyed, aggravated, irritated, that's all. Now, you say to me, everybody's that. Yeah, everybody's that, all who sin. And we all come into the world. We come into our culture, and culture gets into us. In America, what a wonderful thing, we have a constitution, but we don't need that constitution we who are decent and holy and wholesome, we don't need thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not murder, and should not commit adultery, or whatever it is, you know, the Ten Commandments, and then, and in our wonderful Constitution, which is easily lost, but it's still, it's always under attack, but still, it's not for us. It shouldn't be for us. It's only for our adversaries, to keep them at bay, so that we don't, they don't injure the good. So it's a punishment. It's a system to keep bad people at bay. See, not that it succeeds, but it's the best we've got. Better still is that you have the Constitution in your heart, not the one that we're speaking about. Not your Constitution, but intuition. Intuition. Jesus speaks about intuition. He says you to the Pharisees, who basically are the minds of people, and demoralize the minds of people with it. Yes, with the Ten Commandments, you can make them, you can mesmerize them. You can throw all kinds of holy things at them with your authority and make you cringe with fear and subordinates. No, I'm not asking for that. I tell you that what you are looking for is redemption. Redemption from the hypnoidal state you're in, the hypnotic trauma, the post-traumatic stress condition that severe pressures continuously produce and force you not to force you to, well, murder yourself, kill yourself. There's about 40, 50,000 people in America that killing themselves every few months. Why? It's because the pain of overreacting and struggling with the orders of the mind, which you cannot stop. The more you try to fix everything, your thoughts, the worse you become. The more you think you know it's right, the more wrong you are. And it's all the secret of it is lies, is, let me say it again. Overreacting is sin. It is a hypnotic state immediately. And to be added to by a series of people, being handed over to a series of people who will do that to you continuously throughout your life, until you're no longer who you are anymore, or how you were born. You've been pulled away from your innocence. You had that when you were born into this world and into the culture. The culture came into you, and therefore you are born into sin, which is no importance to you. The sin that you have is piled on you when you come to this world. When you come into the country, and the country comes into you. You could take the boy out of the country, but you can't take the country out of the boy. I said that yesterday. What but is in you is culture. And every country on earth, every country that has constitution or tyrants, whatever it is that commands you to obey, that commands you what good and bad is, and you submit yourself to that, and you're educated by that, and compelled by that, will destroy your individuality. It does not. There's something in this world, there are people in this world who understand how to keep you in a hypnoidal state, or in a state of sin, and then pretend to take you out of it by giving you some kind of teaching, some kind of a meditation, some kind of religion. Thousands and thousands of religions from Borneo cannibalism, Hitler Germany. You go on ISIS. All those people coming into a world that they cannot escape, and they have to become murderers. Now, we don't have to become murderers. We don't have to become a nation of broken people, because broken people are slaves. They're slaves of the system they come into. And you can sense it after a while. At first, you see it. First light. You see little children, how beautiful they are, how they ask questions and they seem to understand and we laugh and smile. And how close they are to seeing what they see and knowing what they're saying and ask the right questions. You watch those little children slowly but surely as they get to be more mature, 12, 13, 14, 15. In the first, you know, seven in school, they're just beautiful, six or seven in school. 10, they're starting to change. 12, you see, are beginning to change. They're beginning to look different and see things different. Then you've got sex coming into schools and all the rest of it. Slowly but surely, the child is completely corrupted and end up on crack and whatever. God forbid. But he does forbid it. And it's in your mind. But the trouble is, you tend to make excuses. So the only possible way to conquer the external obedience or in temptation, in other words, stress pressures, is through salvation. Now, I will bring you this if you just bear with me just a little bit, so I can tell you what the problem is that you have to look at. The very first problem you need to look at, I'll come to that in a minute, but you need to become quiet and let your conscience catch up with you. And I teach you something called be still and know. And of course, you see, you remember the other part of it. Be still and know that I am God. In other words, you start to realize a light that shines in you, which contradicts the lights that's coming through you, all the energies that are being showered at your cruelty and fake religiosity. See, so it's possible to conquer that external obedience to pressures, temptations, through something I call salvation, but you don't have to find it. It will find you if you be still. You just need to sit quietly and let your conscience catch up and become your friend when you long ago imagined it to be your enemy or adversary. After suffering the pain of humility in the light that you will come to, you will first discover paradise lost, grace under fire. You will come under fire of other people because you start to become bright and different. And at a certain point, if you allow this process to go, which I shall amplify it in just a few minutes, I'm just setting it up, nothing can make you upset anymore. When you find deliverance, when you find God through being still, so he can catch up with you from running into excuses. We'll talk about excuses in a minute because they all lie. See, you will discover the first step to paradise lost. And I call that grace under fire, which you'll be able to survive it where you would have given into it and got angrier or become submissive and embolden those who hate you and become a slave of those people. At that point, I want you to come to a point where you're not reacting to people and not taking in their poisonous feelings, whether it's pleasant or unpleasant. Both are dangerous. Both when they try to charm you and make you think that you're wonderful and give you compliments or give you things with a catch to it, see? Something pulling on you. You've got to be careful of those things which I shall share with you as I speak. After suffering the pain of humility, which I shall share with you how in just a little bit we'll get to that, you will discover the first step to paradise lost. And that would be grace under fire, that just said that. And nothing can make you upset. That's the state of mind whereby you stand your ground, stand up when necessary, at the right time, and say the right words. And those right words will be given you, and the timing will always be perfect. And nothing is, and you don't have to do anything except be a receptacle of that. At this moment, you're receptacle. Is it the right word I'm saying? Receptive to the world around you and subject to the world around you. That's the problem in conflict. That, in other words, you're not meant to be a rat, a dog, an animal responding to pressures and emotions. No, you meant to be subject to the spirit that created the universe and lives within you, bearing witness to the fact that something is wrong with the world around you. All right. So let me speak to you about... do I have a caller? Oh, I didn't see it. Thank you for telling me. We have a caller, so I prefer callers. And my callers, hopefully, say, what do you mean by this? Oh, I have this problem. How can you explain this? And that makes a wonderful conversation. And I will, if you let me lead the way to the conversation, I'll just ask you a few questions which will trigger in all of you listening, because you all have the same problem, which I said in the first place and never expanded it that much today, at least, which is being irritable, annoyed, aggravated, and then you will say, that's normal. I'll tell you what's not normal. Here's the question, which you share with everybody. How many people, it's 99 9/10%, this is what the answer is to this question. How many people have made an excuse? Put your hand up, just for the hell of it, or the heaven of it. I guarantee you, if you didn't put your hand up, you're lying. Everybody makes an excuse, and you know what that means? It means you did not speak for yourself. Something spoke through you. And it also gave you the excuse, like Johnny made me do it. That's just one of them. There's millions of them in different languages and variations of the same theme. And when you get tired of giving yourself excuses, you look for others to help you excuse yourself. Oh, you're really all right. You're really a nice person. No, what, let that bother you. No, it's not true. You're not a nice person. You shouldn't look for that. So they'll give you excuses and make you feel better than you deserve. There's all kinds of dangers here. But the thing is with excuses, excuses are always lies. So once you acquire the excuse, what you are doing when you acquire that excuse is listening to that which, when you reacted for the first time, something got in you and made you act or react out of that into the world. And it goes wrong. And you feel guilt. Now, how do you deal with guilt? Okay, little boy sees a quarter on his dad's night table, and something says to him, he won't see this, why don't you take it? How many people have that voice in your head when you were a little kid? How many you've done very similar, whether it's a pie on the shelf of the kitchen, or whether it's money on dad's night table? He says, you can buy that little toy that you want, that little car, or that little airplane. Your dad won't notice it, and you feel the pull, something pulling you towards it. And once you obey that, and we'll talk about how come it got that way, but the minute you obey that, you've given in to sin. You've given in to the voice within you that you've inherited from you being born into this, into a culture. So the culture gets into you, and it gets into you as you come into the culture. So what it really says is that something came into you as you came into the world, and therefore you are not guilty as you think you are. Yes, you feel guilty because you're subject, but you didn't choose to be subject, did you? You came into the world, and if you are a cannibal, if I could pull you aside, having eaten lots of people, and find one that had a conscience and pull him aside, I could help redeem him, even though he's eaten people. It's that way because you can't blame the kid for being made to do things, horrible things, or suffer horrible things, and hate what horror is in your parents, in the schools, in the system around you. So there is redemption for you. I only have to show you where it is. All right, now I'll put that aside, if you don't mind, and take my calls. 800-866-8883. 800-866-8883. Call me Monday through Friday, 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. weekdays. Thank you. I will take our calls. I'm looking for intelligent people. Searching people are intelligent. They can hear where I'm coming from and it makes sense. But once you start to, let me just one more thing before I take my caller. Once you start to make excuses, it sets you up. It's called sin. The excuse is the denial of your conscience. You accept the lie, so you don't have to accept the blame. It will help the thing that did it through you, that made you sin, made you take that quarter or the pie on the windowsill when you were told not to. It's the forbidden thing, but it's not your fault. You have come into the world with it, and the world got into you, the culture got into you. And what I need to do is take you out of that culture. America is the closest place on earth. Well, it used to be, it isn't anymore. It's just the opposite. There's lies everywhere, deceit everywhere. That's why we're losing our country and losing our minds. God knows what happens to us. We're all suffering from stress of some kind. Stress is temptation, and I can show you how to neutralize that. Okay, now, having said this, we'll come back to excuses, which is the evidence that you're not living your own life, and that whatever it made you do the wrong also gave you the wrong reason for it and make you feel okay about yourself. And later on, you'll look for people to give you an excuse who will excuse you and love you the way you are. The local dope dealer does a lot of that. Okay, now I'll take my call. I'm talking about Forrest. Hello, Forrest. What can I do for you?
Yes, sir. The subject that I want to talk to you about, Roy, is not exactly what you're discussing right now.
Anything's fine.
Okay. I've been meditating for 40 years since my trip to the Tall Timber Ranch in Grants Pass, Oregon.
Yes.
On my honeymoon. And my life has been wonderful. And I had something happen yesterday that made me, number one, I bought some tapes to give to some friends of mine, some of the 7-minute meditation tapes, and I had Margaret send them out to me today. And I had asked, my question to her was the same one I'm going to pose to you. And I quoted this to a friend of mine who's a Christian regarding his daughter's progress in a sport that we mutually coach. And I said to him, and he's a very well-known Christian who produces Christian movies, and he also doubles as a tennis coach, and he's going to Europe with his daughter soon. And I said, well, you ought to teach her to do observation meditation. And I asked him if he was familiar with Novak Djokovic's book that just came out. And Mr. Djokovic is the tennis champion of the world. And in recent years, last 2 years, he is dominant, and he attributes that.
Okay. Well, my name is Roy Masters.
That is me.
Are you there?
I am here.
Go ahead. Just focus it down to the point, if you will.
Did Jesus Christ use observation meditation to communicate with his Father in heaven?
Didn't need to. The meditation that I am giving you, which is only 7 minutes to understand it. So you close your eyes. I say, look at your eyelids. And what do you see? And in that meditation, in that little process, it's very simple. I've got you to become objective to your thoughts. And so that soul is no longer tangled with the material mind. The monkey brain, I call it. If you're lost in your monkey brain, you're subject to the world. If I can get you if I use the word trick you, because I don't want to explain it to you, but when you meditate the way I share with you, the minute you close your eyes and look at your eyelids, you have come. If you're not a seeker, nothing happens. But if you're a seeker, something happens. You become objective to your own brain, and you see these little pixels of light, and there's no thoughts. You can't see your thoughts anymore. You're seeing these little pixels of light, and what those little pixels of light are equivalent to a thumb drive when you put it in your computer. It has information, but you cannot understand that information. You can just see it coming through you. And that means you're objective, which means you're standing back. And that means you're being still. You're no longer in the world, nor of the world. In other words, you're not in time anymore. Your consciousness has moved away from time and flesh and things that happen. And so therefore you are still. And in that stillness, you've moved towards your Creator. You move to standing back. But standing back, relatively speaking, like Einstein, is moving forwards towards Him, and He moves towards you. And that's what now comes a shower of new kinds of energy that is not of the world. And so that you are in the world and not of it. That's all. And once that is established, after meditation, for a couple of weeks or so, you won't need to meditate anymore. There comes a point where it's natural to be that way, because once you cross the border and you've received the relief of redemption, you can't sin even if you tried. You can't sin. It's impossible. Contrast to the way you've lived in your past, you can't stop being wrong. No matter how much you try, you get worse. You don't, but in this state of what I'm teaching or showing you how it's there, I'm just causing you to step across the line and find the stillness where there's no time. In other words, I'm talking to you from a place of no time. I do not know what time it is. It sounds crazy, but I do not experience time in myself. My body experiences it and it withers away, or whatever it does. But I don't sense time. It's only a place on a clock.
Line with Roy Masters. You can reach Roy at 1-800-866-8883. That's 1-800-866-8883.
Hello, Forrest. Again, this is me.
Yes, sir.
And now, tell me what the question is again, and tell me what you've understood, if you've understood what I just said, so that people can see what the question is.
There's one thing. When you're meditating and you fall into your thoughts, you said that...
I don't. No, you don't.
You don't.
When you meditate, it's an exercise of not falling into your thoughts. At a certain point, and it could be a week, it could be a month, it could be a year, it could be immediate. I can't explain it. It's magical. In other words, evil is magical. It can mess with your head and ruin your life, and you can't stop it. But redemption is the opposite.
Rory, aren't you supposed to do it without will, without any will at all?
Well, yes, but what I'm doing is transferring your soul. See, let me see since you brought the word will up. I would like to ask you to ask me, do I have a will? Would you do that for me, just for fun?
Do I have a will, Rory?
No, ask me. Yes, ask you.
Let me ask you first. Do you have a will?
I have a will. No, a will has me. I know the difference. The average person thinks they have a will, and they will things to happen. They don't realize they're being possessed by a will. I'm intuitive. I'm out of that world of confusion. I know I have the will has me. I love that. I am possessed of my Creator. I would not want it to be any other way. The only other way is to be subject to the dark forces that run this world.
So do the people I alert about this find the meditation, or does the meditation find them? I'm trying to help people like you are, you know.
I understand that. But what you need to be is an example. And they say, how is it you don't react so much? They notice it. How is it you seem to understand things we don't understand? I've done some what we call brave situations, very dangerous brain situations that most people would not understand. And so they say, how could you do this? I said, I didn't do it. Something inside me did it. I just didn't know. How else would you do it? How else would you do it? It's the only way I see. I don't see the left. I don't see what you think of as the right. I almost find myself doing it and it's all over. It was so easy because God is acting through me. And that's the only thing there is, except there's only two of these things. You're subject to the world, and then you're controlled by the world, and you take shape by the world in conflict with your human spirit. And sooner or later, the pain of suffering makes you seek, and seek, and you shall find. If you're really, really seeking and realizing that you think you have a will, but a will has you, but it's the wrong one. It's the dark side of the force. It's always lied to you and made you think that you did this and you sinned, and therefore you got to make up your mind and be responsible for what you've done. But this dark side is talking to you and making you do all these things, thinking it's your own idea, thinking you can somehow save yourself or will yourself to be better. And you try harder and harder and harder until you die from it. You die from frustration. Now, your only other choice is to be redeemed from that, to be subject to our Creator. That's all Jesus wants of us, to be to look at Him and see where He's coming from and appreciate where He's coming from. And the minute you appreciate where He's coming from, magic. You've recognized. You've identified. You feel like a breath of fresh air came in. And because you love where He's coming from, and because you do love if He was to be here today, and He is today in me. So that's what many people like yourself love about me. But it's not me that's the lover. It's Him within me. He doth the work. Why call me good? There's none good but God. I know that. But I'm happy to share with others what He gave to me. And just being an example of that is sufficient. All by itself. And then I can show you the simple technique to make sure that you don't fall back. And once you've done that several times, maybe a week, maybe a month, so that it becomes part of you. In other words, you get clearer and clearer and clearer that what you must do is as to look at yourself, and when a thought comes to you, a light will shine on it. A light comes from within, inwardly. And no excuses. And then you see the excuses, and you can see that it's an excuse. You can see the excuse is a lie. The average person does not see the excuse as a lie, but as a redemption from the truth that could set them free. There's nothing much to it. It's beautiful. It's beautiful. You don't have to teach anybody. So when I said Jesus didn't have to meditate, he didn't have to meditate. And after a while, I've been meditating a lot, and I realized, why am I meditating? I'm in my inner meditation because the Bible says, meditate unceasingly. Well, how can you meditate unceasingly if you're going to do work? No, meditation is a natural state. A natural state. And premeditating is also an unnatural state, but it's the ugly equivalent. So you can't stop one or the other. You either in-breathe or out-breathe.
So Roy, I react almost never. The only reaction I have is to my wife.
Oh, no, you've got to be careful of that one. That's the one you've got to conquer.
I'm stuck on that one right now.
I'm stuck on that one, too. 64 years. She still hasn't got it. I'm okay with it.
Well,
but she can't get to me. But she can't get to me. But she loves me. There's a part of her that's irritable and the part of her that loves me. She has a love-hate thing. I can't change her until she's willing. I can't force my will. God doesn't want a person to be willed into things. She does see it in me, and she loves me for 1 minute for it, but there's a side of her that doesn't like me and then sets me up to fail in very strange ways by hiding things and things like that. And saying, I don't know where it is. You know, are you accusing me of something? It could be an argument, but see, I'm married, and the hardest thing there is in your life is to learn to deal with women, your wife in your case, perfectly. And if it takes me another 100 years, assuming I live to 100, another 20 years, but that's less than 20 years, 12 years, isn't it? If I live to be 100, I shall still be patient with her and not be angry with her, always be an example for it, and you know, take care of her when she falls sick and do the right thing by her, whether she does it to me or not. I'm not looking for approval. I just want to do the right thing every day. And so the thing I love the most to do, though, is to talk on the radio and help people like yourself, who are much easier. It's difficult when you're married. More difficult because, you know, this Eve in every woman is very clever. And so you're bonded to her, and she knows it. So your biggest test is how you deal with your wife. Why do you can learn not to be upset with her no matter what she says. You can make us upset. She can get upset, so upset that she can't upset you. In other words, there's a state of mind where you are calm. And instead of her upsetting you, she gets upset because you won't get upset. She can't eat you. But there's also a side of her that appreciates that, that needs it. And it may take a long time for it to come around. Or she doesn't come around, and she drops dead. She'll die from a sickness. Your wife could die from a sickness from hating you, trying to get you to be upset, to feed off of you. And because you don't get upset, it upsets her. And instead of you getting sick, she gets sick. But you can't help that. You can't help that.
He has a sickness.
Well, let her die from it. And talk to her. Say, listen, well, what's the sickness?
MS.
I forgot what MS means.
Multiple sclerosis.
Oh, multiple, yes. Well, that's it. That's caused by stress. You need to, every time you see her doing something wrong, find a moment to express it. There's something in her that will hate you for it. It possesses her. And if you don't, it will get inside you. And you will get sick and she'll get better in her wickedness. And you will die from it. One of you is going to die from the other, or you live happily ever after. And you can't tell what's in your wife. When you get married, you really can't tell the contents of her soul. And so making a statement of honor until death do us part is very, very important, because you really need to deal with what's wrong with your wife. But first of all, you have to see that the wife is controlling you ever since Eve. It passes through the generations. As you come into the world, your wife imprints into your children something of herself. And then there's no husband, because you have married her only for the pleasure that you get from her, you call love. And because that the very act of being married without knowing what you are to expect will make you immediately part of a problem. And for a little while it will seem all right. Then the children come, and the disobedience comes, and the fact that she knows more than you do, because she's a woman, she knows what love is more than you do. It shouldn't be that way. You should be the one that knows more than love than her. She does. It's up to you, the man, to know what love is, and that's not to be upset with your wife, and not to misuse her, and not to be angry when she's angry with you. Stay calm. If you stay calm, the chances are she will come around one day, but you don't know what day that is. It may be minus 64 years, and still the problem. But still, she's getting weaker. I'm getting stronger. If she dies, I won't miss her. If she lives, I've got a wife. That's all. And anybody who listens to me, if you hate me, you start to die right away. You'll die 10 times quicker than you would have after having never heard me before. If you be angry with me, sir or lady, you will start to die as of this moment, because I'm bringing you good tidings. And if you hate it, meaning you hate me, and if I was standing in front of you, you could hate me all you want, but you would not get me to react. You would find only light. That person will be unable, have I not spoken about it, that person who meets a person like myself, who is gifted, as you can be gifted, as we all can be gifted. It's not just Roy Masters, it's everybody can be gifted to this. You only have to seek and find. And so when you have this gift, and people don't then see you as a bright light, the dark side of them hate you. But let them hate you and don't get upset with it. And that's the magic. Do you understand what I'm saying, Forrest? Is that she is she desire? Does she needs to? She needs to die. She needs to die. If she keeps hating your good, but if you react to it, you're the one that's going to die, and maybe she'll die trying. It's horrible. You must find the secret of never, ever, for any reason, for whatever, to even flinch when she plays games with you. And that goes to everyone. Then you remain pure and you are a light. And if there's anything good in her, you will bring it forth. If there's anything bad in her, she dies with it.
I'm married to a good person, a good woman.
I'm sure.
But you know, you're right on the money, on the evaluation of this. Is there such a thing as our relationship getting gradually better and moving?
Ideally, meaning I hope, like I say to my wife, I said, Anne, look, when I try to show you something, you get offended. And then you accuse me of being mean, see? You're accusing me of doing something I didn't do. She can't see she does it. I can see it. I bring it to attention, the dark side. It takes me to task every single time. And so I never stop, though. And so I don't know what the outcome will be. I don't know what my own wife is. I don't know yet. I see a little girl in there. I see a beautiful little girl in there that is what I married. But slowly but surely, because I did not know in the beginning, as you didn't know, it took me a while to discover all these things, how it spread to the family, things like that. So I got problems on my hands, basically, because of that. But point is, this, to me, it's a learning curve. And so I'm sharing with you what I'm learning. You must not worry about outcome. What you need to make sure is that you love God and His love is in you, and nobody can take you away from Him by getting you to be upset. That's the key. And when a woman who is decent slowly but surely sees she can't overcome you, you overcome her with good, and you can live happily ever after. But it will take some time, and you'll never
you,
know
Roy.
The moment. You'll never know the moment when it comes. All right, let me write it back.
Line with Roy Masters. You can reach Roy at 1-800-866-8883. That's 1-800-866-8883.
I just want to say hello, ladies and gentlemen. I do have a very intelligent gentleman on the program with me, and I see people coming and going and can't wait. But I'm looking at the screen, but it's important when I speak to a person, I'm speaking to everybody. I'm speaking to every married person. Or everyone. Okay, well, he got his answer. I just lost the two calls. I just, when you call, please call 800-866-8883. Now, do you understand the power, actually the dangers of being real? And how it disturbs people around you. And makes them angry. And there's others who are predators. And it could be your husband, it could be your wife. Let's turn it around, because I'm not saying it's just a husband, it's just the wife can also deal with a husband the same way as I described the man deals with his wife. It's everybody, the kids itself. The kids also find a way of irritating you. And you've got to learn not to be angry with them. Meaning firm. You can be firm without being angry, can't you? You can let them scream and let them vent. Isn't that part of love, to let them vent? Call your names. Well, you don't want to go, you dirty little rat, let me beat you up. No, you don't do that. You don't get upset with those things. When he's finished, you're finished. And you see the person's empty of energy. The side of that child or husband or wife, adversary, adversary you don't have to live with it. You go to work and there he is, and so on and so forth. So it is much more difficult when you come home and it's always there. It's always there. If you have love, you don't have to worry about anything. All you need to do is not feed the beast in the person. You understand this? St. George and the dragon and the maiden in the prison. You have to get past the dragon. She doesn't see it. It speaks to her as if she was speaking. Therefore, if you correct that, she feels that you are looking down at your nose at her when she's really looking down at the nose at you. But she's in her difficulty, she's, or he, is trying to tell you, trying to get you to see things differently and to be patient with it. For instance, a lot of people say to me, "You're not the father I never have." Well, if you lived in my house, you have all kinds of different problems and arguments, and I can raise my voice, and make my point. I say, "No, just knock it off." I just, this. I don't know if I can act it out very good. But I can make my point and stand my ground and not be tossed around like a bubble in a water, in a wave. No. But I don't have the irritation or the anger. That's important. Stand up for yourself. But no anger. Or don't do anything and just let it roll over you like water off a duck's back. What you're doing is radiating You can't see the radiation, but the other person sees it. The other person feels frustrated, but you don't. You don't feel anything, but they do feel something by trying to hurt you. And it backfires on them. And they begin to move away. If it's a stranger, they want to move away from you. They'll try, and bingo, they'll leave you alone where you would have gotten beaten up. The test is, with your children and your wife or your husband, is to see if you react and to test you by pretending to love or being irritated for not you loving or not getting what they want. You certainly give them what they want if it's right, but not if they pressure you. Maybe they should have it, but you're not going to give it to them, not when they speak to you the way things have to start, calm down. Oh, Dad, no. You get nothing, you just wait. Just learn to be patient, not be rude to your father. That's it. No, you can't go out tonight. You can't do this or that. And be strong. Close the door. Yes, if you have it, have a little wrestle. That doesn't hurt either. You've got to be careful with the lady, though, don't you? But the point is, there's got to be no anger. There's got to be no irritation. Ever. Because you belong to him. And he's taken away that and put himself in you. And him in you is more than a match for them. I tell you this, ladies and gentlemen, my friends, if you could find this, you'd find Jesus. You'd find God. Simple. Of myself, I can do nothing. So don't put it on me as if I have power. I have no power, but the power is operating through me. I am the vessel. And then you awaken. Wow, I never saw that before. You recognize it, and you awaken from that sleep. That you came into the world, and that sleep that overcame you when you came into the culture. And the culture came into you, and it acted through you, and you became a good Englishman, and you're a good American, and a good Nazi. Whatever it is you do, you'll be that. And then one day, you'll see there's something terribly wrong with it, even though everybody around you doesn't see it. So maybe you have to go away somewhere and live a different life. But I tell you about marriage. You hold that line. That is what a woman needs. But I guarantee you marry wrong for the wrong reason to begin with, and that is why you have to pay the price to right it. That's it, to make it better. And that may take you your whole life. All right, now, this is I really should be giving these commercials, asking you to support the program. Let me give you the phone number, 800-877-3227. And that's, business hours. But we had to have a operation that answers the phones weekends, so don't worry about it. And then Post Office Box 1000, Grants Pass, Oregon, 97528. And then there's the website, fhu.com. Get the little meditation called 7-Minute Meditation. That's all it is. It's not. There's no religious words in it. You'll see what happens to you.